Awesome. Well, good morning, guys. If this is your first time, welcome. We are actually finishing up this collection of talks. And so if you've missed any of this, it's all online right now. You can go back and listen to it. I highly recommend it because the series is called It's Not You, It's Me. We're talking about breakups with God. Every so often in our lives, we end up in a scenario where we want to break up with God, whether you are a longtime believer or it was new to you, or some of you have. You're there right now, and that's okay. I'm glad you're here. I'm happy you're here. You're not going to be shunned out or anything like that. But the past 2 weeks, we've identified. See, too often when it comes to breakups, we talk about them just because they're juicy, right? We want to know why they broke up, how it all fell apart, what happened. But we don't talk about relationships, breakups in the right way. See, if we would identify why breakups happen, like what is going on in the chemistry of humans, and we look at it, if you're someone that ends up breaking up a lot, you probably need to identify why those breakups are happening so you can hopefully stop, because I'm thinking that you want to be with somebody if you it keeps happening. But when we're talking about Jesus, talking about God and how we break with him, see, the truth is God is jealous for you. Yeah. Absolutely jealous. And so the first week, we talked about idolatry. Now, it might not be, you might not have a shrine in your home where you got a statue that you worship to some other name god or something like that, but there is idolatry in our lives. There's things in our life, whether it's money, whether it's lust, whatever it may be, other people that we put above God. And anything that we put as a measurement of is the same or above God is idolatry. And God's jealous. He does not want to share you. You cannot indulge in what destroys you while serving the one who created you. And then week two, we talked about recognizing bad influences in your life. I called that message influence schminfluence, because too often we totally value great influence. We go to conferences and we listen, watch videos, and we get influenced, we read books, and that's awesome. But we completely undervalue the power of bad influences in our lives. And we let those creep in and begin to change. And so last week we talked about what do you do about that? Even if people meant well, how do you find out if it's bad influences? And Scripture tells us to test the influences in your life. Test the spirit, the purpose, what drives whatever that person is or that thing is that influences you. Test what it is. Test everybody, even us here at Village Heights, even me. When I come up here and I preach and I talk about things, go home and read it for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. I want you to know about it. Too often, we let the unqualified define the quality of our relationships with Jesus. So we need to test the Spirit. So we spent the last 2 weeks on how we avoid a breakup with God. The things that can lead up to a breakup when it's even a good, when you're having a great relationship with God, these things can lead to a breakup, those things that we talked about. And after all the hard work is done, after you avoid idolatry, you avoid bad influences in your life, and it's going good, in every relationship this happens, human or with God, you come to this point where, like, all this work, is it worth it? Is it worth all this pain and struggle? Is it worth it? We're going to talk about that today. Last week I was sick, and so I was real docile. I'm jacked this week, guys. And this is one of my favorite topics to talk. Well, for one, talking about Jesus. I get really excited when I'm directly talking about Jesus. But then this topic in general, one of my hits, and it's going to be a little different, guys. Some of you probably have never heard a message like this before, but bear with me. Don't hit the door yet. At least listen to it to the end. But it's going to be different. So is it worth it? Is the relationship something worth fighting for? We all come to this point, this question we have to ask ourselves. See, a healthy relationship needs a give and a take cycle. There is a cycle. It's not always even. It's not always fair. But there is a give and a take cycle. There's a mutually beneficial human relationships for sure. The roles might be different, but they're powerful to the functionality of the relationships. Some of the responsibility to share, but some are completely individual. There are some things that you do that the person you're in relationship with can't do. And so without you, they wouldn't happen in the relationship. So it needs to happen. It all needs to function. Each relationship, it's for themselves to figure out. It's for them to test out. And this is one of the beautiful things I love about relationships, because it's not all cookie cutter. Sure, there's a generalization of how it kind of goes about and works about, but when it comes to the details, man, it is beautiful to me to see how relationships work out. and how they coexist. And even though that thing really makes that other person mad, they find a way to live with it, you know, the clipping the toenails and things like that. You know, it fascinates me. Absolutely fascinates how all that works out. The beauty of different personalities coming together for a lifetime together. That's why at Village Heights, there's a thing that we push called the Simbus test. If you're getting married, you know, or if you've been married and you want to, you know, relook at and reevaluate, that's always great to do. Hannah and I always do. We reevaluate because you change over time. Your annoyances change. Your goals change. It's always good to reevaluate the relationship as humans go because we change. And so it's vitally important to identify the relationships, to understand it, because in that understanding, you find out, is it worth it? Is it worth it? If our relationship with Christ is worth it, first, we must look at the worth it of human relationships. And today, I'm specifically looking at marriage. And some of you are like, oh man, why did I come today? Okay, bear with me. Okay, I need you to understand human marriage before you can understand the relationship between us and Christ. And Scripture does a unique thing right here. And sometimes we miss what the power of this is. It's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. So, guys, we're going to go through a short bit of marriage counseling. Okay, guys? Just a short bit. And this part is free. All right? This marriage counseling is free to you. You know, take notes, copious notes. Try not to elbow. You know, try not to tweet and Facebook Live. Just this part. You know, okay, you need to get the whole message. But here we go. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be different. All right? So, we're going to do on this ride together. This is going to be fun. All right, so we're starting out in Ephesians 5, 22 through 32. All right, so this is where it begins. It's specifically talking to wives and husbands. Some of you like, I know this scripture and I'm dreading this. Okay, so it starts out, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. All right, so first off, a pet peeve of mine with this is that this is not a very well-liked scripture when it should be. It's not a very well-liked scripture because it's been an area of abuse. Men have taken this portion of scripture in the terminology as we know it in the English language and have used it to their benefit to either slightly abuse or full-on abuse a woman in their life. If that is you, I will go out and throat punch you right now, okay? If I meet a man that says, they got to submit to me, I want to throat punch them in the moment because not only are they mistreating God's creation, I think the better of God's creation, just personally. Not only are they mistreating, but they are misusing the word of God. And that's something you don't do. Because my throat punch will be a warning and a help to you. You won't survive God's throat punch, okay? When God finally gets enough of your abuse of his creation, he throat punches you, it's over, guys. You cannot survive from that. It'll knock your head straight off, okay? So, just to clear up what this portion of scripture is. It is not about weakness. If it was about weakness, it would say give up. It wouldn't say submit, it would say give up. Weakness gives up. That is not what this is about. The strong choose to submit. My wife is a very strong leader, a very strong person. And I feel bad for people who cross her because she might be not big in stature, but man, she is one fiery redhead ball of flame that will come rocking down your way if you mess with one of her kids or, you know, if her family, you know, if you're doing something that, man, she will come after you. Be afraid. I am very afraid at times in my life. She is a powerful person. There's nothing weak about my wife. She is a pastor here at this church. She is a leader. And she doesn't even need me as a leader. She could do it all on her own. She is a very strong leader. And if someone is coming up against her, because we are one, and if she can't quite take it out, I'm going to bring the hurricane, okay? We are one, and she has access to me. I'm going to shake tectonic plates for her. Like, John Wick would have nothing on me. Liam needs to be taking notes for me and how I'm going to take you out. I might be saved, but I'm human enough to swing on somebody, okay? All right. I'm just going to put all that out there, take it as you will. But why would I? Why would I defend her in such a manner? Why would I do that? It has a lot to do with the actual meaning of submit means here in Scripture. See, the more biblical meaning of it is that it means being sold out for someone. Not ruling someone, being sold out for someone. I don't know many husbands out there that would be like, it's okay for my wife to be about other men, to be about other things. No, they want their wives to be all sold out for them. So much that men, and it's statistically proven, that men are way more unforgiving when it comes to infidelity and things like that, because we don't want that. We want the special woman in our life, want to be sold out. Hannah is sold out for me, and I love it. I get jacked about it. It gets me pumped when I'm just thinking about it, that I'm willing to punch somebody over just a little thing because how much she is sold out for me. Doesn't that sound good, husbands? Isn't that what you would want, soon-to-be husbands? Isn't that what you want? But when it comes to the terms of submission, it's not an absolute. It's a choice. It is a choice. And choice changes depending on circumstances. It means there's something that needs to happen for them to choose to want to be all about you, to be all about it. Something has to happen. So in this portion of Scripture, and it's broken up into two paragraphs, I like to point out that the first part is about wives, and the Apostle Paul uses 3 verses and 52 words to do this for the wives. For the men, for the husband, the next paragraph, he has to take 6 verses and 142 words. See, Paul, being a man himself, knew that men are a little dense. Okay, our pride gets in our way, and so he needed to say, okay, I need you guys to understand what's going to happen here and how much needs to go and how you have to earn. You got to earn that being about it, that being something, being all into. You got to earn that. And I'm glad that God gave men a tiny part of the puzzle in making newborns and babies, because I'm convinced that women would have wiped the world of us a long time ago if they didn't need us for such a thing to happen, to make babies happen. They don't, because Hannah doesn't need me. And I'm willing to bet if there's a scorecard, I need her more than she needs me in my life. So that's my scorecard. And there's also a reason why you can go on Facebook and you see videos. It's like, this is the reason that why women live longer than men. You know, men were just a little dense. Sometimes we need to say, hey, maybe don't do that. All right, so guys, listen up. Listen up to what I'm about to read right here. Because this is some, you can take this tidbit of marriage counseling for yourself, all right? If you want a woman to be all about you, this is how. All right, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Guys, if you want your wife, soon-to-be wife, to be all about it, i.e. you got to earn it. You got to sacrifice. And this is in past tense. Like, you're thinking about, what's the chicken or the egg? Should she be a ball about me first, or should I sacrifice first? In here, Christ says, love your wives as Christ gave. Past tense. I mean, there was a sacrifice that happened for this to continue. Meaning that you got to sacrifice first. And here, some of you are thinking, that's not fair. You're right, it's not. It's not fair. But great relationships, powerful relationships, lifelong relationships aren't built on fair. They're built on sacrifice. They're built on putting yourself out there, willing to set your own body aside, to take the bullet in times that you have to for them. If you want them to be all about you, that's how it starts. All right, now that we understand this portion of Scripture, the marriage counseling portion is over. If you want more of that, you know, we can, three easy payments of $5.99, and we can, no, I would love to sit down and do Simba's tests and all that with you guys. That stuff is really fascinating with me. It's so much fun. But email me if you want further sessions, okay? But there's something that happens after. So now that we understand, the flow of the relationship, there is a choosing to be all about the one that is over, who is taking the ultimate sacrifice, who should always put their selves, their body, their mind, their everything on the line for, to sacrifice for. Now that we're understanding the flow of that relationship, this is the next thing that he says right here. Okay, he's mentioning Christ, he's using Christ as an example. The next verse he says, the mystery is profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Paul's like, whoa, guys. Whoa. This is profound. This is a mystery. The fact that they correlate so closely together, the fact that our human relationship, the most powerful relationship that you can have here on this earth between a woman and a man, a marriage, that powerful relationship, has similarity to our relationship with our Savior. How the mystery is profound. It's mind-blowing. It's because we are created in his image, not just physically in our mind, but even in our relationships are created in his image. Even though Paul is talking about human relationship, there is a resemblance to the divine relationships that we can have. And the cool thing is, he just pointed out, you can understand it. Your relationship with Christ and how it needs to happen, you can understand it. Like, it can be clear to you. It's relative to us. Relationship with the Creator is possible under our own understanding, even though we don't deserve it, as it says in Romans 5:8. See, there's some part of a human, relationship that's like, okay, you both messed up. Why don't we try to work out this out together, guys? Maybe you join forces. Maybe you can do something better. And that's what marriage is. It's coming together to do something great, to be better than yourself. It's an amazing thing. But it's not fair. It's not fair in the relationship with Christ, because Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love, meaning he loves us. This is how he's going to show it for us. In that while we were still sinners, we were never on the same playing field with God in the relationship category, in the way, never the same. But Christ died for us. Even though we didn't deserve it, he still loves us. He still wants us, wants to be in relationship. So all this example of how this works out, here, it's easy to understand. This is the way it can go. It's mimics what we do here on earth. With other relationships, it's similar. You don't deserve it, but it still exists. It can still happen. This is that in-your-face truth that Jesus is completely out of your league. Completely, completely out of your league. You don't deserve him. None of us do. No human deserves what Christ has done for us. We deserve all the wrath that should come our way. It's like, for example, you ever been out on the town, or you've been on a date, or you're just walking around the Heights or wherever, and you're walking along and you see a couple, and it kind of makes your head turn, and you're like, how did he end up with her? And you're kind of, the wheels are turning, and it's like, he must have a lot of money, and say, what is it? What magic sorcery did he perform to get that woman to like him? You kind of want to investigate it. You end up following them. You're like, maybe they're going to jump to a Lambo. I just know it. So it's got to be a really nice sports car. It never fails when you get up and kind of start sniffing around, especially if you're a single guy, sniffing around that whole situation. That one guy, he knows he's out of his league, okay? He knows it, and he starts getting real territorial. If you roll up in your nicer car next to him, he just might snap a mirror off or rip a, saying, oh man, that car is broke. They can't afford to fix it. You don't want them. You don't want, you know, let's move on. You know, they start doing magic tricks to hopefully distract from other more attractive guys. You know, this is like the animal kingdom sometimes out here, you know. It's the same way with Christ. Sometimes people that know you and know your life, they see you walking with Christ, living for Christ, and they're going, hey, don't you know Jesus is out of your league? You don't deserve that church. You don't deserve those nice people being sweet to you. Did you know all the evil you've done? Surely God won't want you. You get to turn around and say, yeah, I know. Isn't it great? He loves me so much that regardless of what I've done, and he knows everything that I've done, there's no hiding from him, he still loves me. Now get away and don't mess this up. I'm going to break your mirrors off if you try to mess up my relationship with Christ, because that is something that is worth preserving, something that you should be fighting for. Don't mess this up. Just like that guy with that girl, he never should have completely out of the league. You defend your relationship with Christ to death. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Because that is one relationship. It's the best relationship. So this is how it works. So if we go back to that scripture, and I've gone now, this is not biblical, okay, before you guys call, you know, the headquarters of Tyndall or, you know, commentaries, don't call them. Now I'm telling you, I've taken that portion of scripture and I've removed the metaphors and I've made it direct. So now it's just our relationship with Christ. I'm rereading it, okay? This is how the relationship with Christ works. Humans, submit to your Savior. He is the Lord. Christ is the head of the church, his body, and in himself, its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, meaning humans, so also humans should submit in everything to their Savior. That's your part. That's you. And that's all that it asks. Submit. Be about it. Be about your Savior. Everything that you are, it is who you are. And everything that you're not looking other directions for other saviors. You're not looking to other sources to make you feel good, or just like husbands don't want wives looking at other men. Christ doesn't want us looking at others. He wants us looking at him. He wants us to set our gaze to be all about him, sold out for him. So that's the portion. That's us. Here's the next part. Remember, it's there's a give and a take. There's a cycle here, right? So because, this is Christ's part, because Christ loved the church and gave himself up for humans, that he might sanctify humans, having cleansed humans by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the humans in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that they might be holy and without blemish. For Christ doesn't hate his creation, but nourishes it and cherishes it, because we are members of his body. Therefore, humans shall leave their worldly identity and hold fast to their Savior, and the Savior will dwell inside of them. Did Christ earn our love? I'd say so. He gave everything. Everything. There wasn't a thing that he gave us his body. He left his throne, which I'm sure was heated and was gold, you know, and had his cup holder. I mean, I'm sure it was the Cadillac of thrones in heaven. Left that to a stable, sacrificed everything. Let us beat him, torture him, accuse him, call him a liar, and then kill him. He let us do that. I'd say he's earned it. He has earned our love, even though he didn't have to. He is the creator. He didn't have to do any of that. He could have said, I'm done with you guys. Gone. He could pull a Thanos on you and just snap and you all be gone. He could have done that. But he's jealous for you. He desires. We are his greatest creation. He loves us. And he wants another chance. And that's not fair to Christ. You're right. It's not fair to Christ. But if God demanded fairness from us, we would be doomed. Absolutely doomed. We would have been off this earth a long time ago, wiped of it. Maybe dinosaurs would be back. That would be awesome. I don't know. But we would be completely, utterly doomed. So realize, first off, the blessing. Realize the blessing that Christ does not require the same of you. God does not require the same. Because Christ has done so much to make this relationship work. You ever look at some couples and think, why is that other one working so hard to make this work? Why? Christ, they would look at us the same way and say, why is Christ working so hard to make this work? Man, they are foolish. They don't understand what they have. Why does he keep trying? It's way too much by human standards. But God doesn't halfway do it. He doesn't halfway do things. He didn't halfway make you. And when God makes promises, he fulfills them. All the way through the Old Testament, there's promises. And those promises are fulfilled and reinstated in the New Testament. When he makes a promise, he doesn't miss it. He fulfills it. And when Jesus showed his love, he did it in an absolute way. Absolute way. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins. Jesus himself bore our sins. Not just your sins, our sins. The sins of the world. In his body, on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That thing that we can't achieve on our own, that we needed something, righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Not by your wounds, by his wounds. Someone that was undeserved for that beating, undeserving of it, was perfect. His wounds, you were healed. Man, we do dumb things to try to impress others, right? Especially guys, to try to impress women. We do dumb things. You know, the whole hold my beer. Oh man, that's a lot of bad has happened. If you ever hear somebody hold my beer, don't just say, no, I'm not holding it. I don't want to be subject to this unless I have a phone in my hand. I'm going to film it. You know, whatever. Don't do that. We do a lot of dumb things that think it's going to be cool to be impressive. Oh, Christ. Oh, he just died for us and rose in 3 days. That little thing. Now that's impressive. That is something that is amazing. He is not only out of our league, not only way out of our league, we don't deserve him. He's not even looking for equality. In Matthew 16, 24, he says, in the relationship, he's not looking for an equal transfer. He says, then he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, meaning that he just said, talked about his death and resurrection. He just told them, like, guys, I'm about to be killed. I'm going to rise. It's going to be awesome. Don't blink. You know, this is going to be cool, okay? He just foretold that. And they're like, well, we want to go with you, Jesus. And this is what he says. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You don't even have to do what he's about to do. He just said take up a cross. He didn't say die and rise again. He didn't say, hey, pick up the cross of other humans. No, he said, just your cross. I can handle that. I can handle my own problems. I can't handle the problems of other people, but I can handle my own problems under my own power. He just wants you to do what you can do. And you don't even have to carry Jesus's heavy cross. It's not like not even an equal transfer. He's not saying, hey, if you want to be related to me, here you go. You know, and he throws it on you and it smashes you to the floor because you can't handle that kind of pressure. He didn't even ask that. Just your cross. Just what you can handle. I'm not even going to ask you to do the things that I have to do. Just start where you are. He doesn't even ask for equality in this relationship. So again, not only do you not deserve it and you're out of his league, Jesus has given you a way out. He's given you an easy way out of just bearing your own. You don't have to solve each other's problems. It's great if you do, and if you do, awesome. But he's just, focus on you. Focus on your cross. I got to tell you, that is way easier than handling other people's problems. But Christ's love was so much for us that he has gone to the nines, absolute nines, to make sure you know it. And just to help you understand this, guys, I'm going to ask Kyle to come up. I'm going to do a little illustration, a little visual for you guys. What Christ is doing, done for us, and will be doing for us. Now, when you walked in, you were armed. with a ping pong, okay, a little ping pong ball. Pull those ping pong balls out. If you don't have any, maybe we can pass them out. Y'all share the load, you know, don't be greedy, okay? This ping pong ball represents something. This illustration we're about to do. This ping pong ball represents the bad stuff in life, the negativity of the world, the things that want to take you down, whether it's from the world or it's from the enemy, the devil. These are the things, right? So this is how the relationship works with Christ. So guys, arm yourselves, okay? So let's say Jesus is Kyle. Now that's the highest honor Kyle will ever get in his life in representation. He's the closest in the room that I could say could be Jesus. Actually, he's as big as me, so I can hide behind him. So this is what it's like. You get in relationship with Jesus, and you are all about Jesus. You're all about him. You are submitting to him. There's not another Savior over here or anything over here that you're even looking at. You're saying, Christ, because of what you've done for me, what you have done, you didn't have to do. Man, I'm all about you. And when we do that, guys, arm yourselves. All right, get ready. Something happens. Now, I want you to try to hit me, okay? I want you guys to try to hit me. Are you ready? Go for it. Do you get, so while the world is happening, while the enemy is trying to take you down, throwing everything it can, because it doesn't want you in a relationship with Christ, so they're going to throw the hard stuff at you. Meanwhile, while that is happening, Jesus is looking at you going, aren't you great? He's getting beat in the back. Stripes, blood is being spilt for you on his back. Meanwhile, he's just looking at you saying, man, you're awesome. I love you. I built you to do great things. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to help you get there. So while that's happening, Jesus is just hugging you. He's just thankful that you love him. Oh, isn't that sweet? All right, you can go sit down. Yes, go ahead. I hope that illustration helped you guys. Because when the world attacks, and they will, not even evil, not even the enemy. When the world attacks, it says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. He loves you that much. That even when the world attacks, he has taken every hit for you from the world. Taken everything. When the gates of hell attack, in Matthew 16:18, it says, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, meaning Peter was the rock. He's going to build his church on Peter. He's going to start it from there. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. He's taken the hits from the enemy. He's taken the hits from the world. He's taken them all on his back, the blood and stripes for you, while you just get to stand in his shadow. And gaze into the beauty of Jesus as he blesses you, as he honors the giftings that he's given you, as you more are all about him and all about and submit and give everything. He's just covering you more and more. Because I guarantee you, and this is, I don't have any evidence at this moment, but as you get closer to Christ, that's when all the demons and the devils come out. Because they don't want that. The people in your life that are jealous of your happiness, they don't want that. They don't know why you're smiling even though you lost your job. They don't know why you're smiling even though that loved one is gone. They don't know why. But they don't like it. They're going to try to take it away from you. Jesus is there, taking the hits. Taking the hits, every one. Paul put it this way in Romans 8:38-39, and I love that he said this, because Paul, I don't know anybody that took a beating like he did. Boy, did he take one for Jesus, but it was all worth it. There was nothing in Paul's life, once he had that encounter with Christ, there was nothing, not even death. We're going to let, he's not, I know Jesus is out of my league. I know I don't deserve God, but man, I'm going to fight for this relationship. And I'm not going to give up. And not only am I not just keep it for myself, I'm going to try to spread it everywhere so everybody else can have the same opportunity. This is the way Paul put it in Romans 8, 38-39. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. But even if, let's just toy with the option. Let's say one gets through. And it is a deadly shot. Kill shot. One gets through. Something in this world takes us down, whether it's cancer, freak car accident, jealous spouse, I don't know. Whatever it may be, takes you out. He's even taking care of that. In John 3:16, this famous scripture says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him," meaning being all about him, "should not perish, but have eternal life." Even if one gets through and it takes you down, he's like, it's okay. Don't worry about them. He's still standing there. He says, I got you. You're never going to die. You won't perish. You're not only because of what you suffered here on earth and what you've done and how you've been all about me. Man, you get the greatest gift. Your life is just beginning. You get to spend eternity with me now. Wow. Wow. This is a relationship that's worth fighting for. Absolutely. Just as the apostles fought for it. Don't let anything or anybody mess up the greatest relationship that you will ever have in your life. What could happen to you now could happen to you in the future. Jesus is literally the greatest. Nothing can compete with him here on earth. Everything will try, but nothing can. Don't let it. Guard it. Fight for it. Be willing to say, God, when rough times hit the relationship, be willing to say, God, it's not you, it's me. You never promised it would be easy come or easy go, but by your side, I'm happy to oblige. I'm willing to take it, God, because this is worth it. Even if they come against me, even if I'm hunted, it is worth it to be in relationship with you. Is it worth fighting for? I'd say so. And it's time to start the fight. If you're not fighting for the place, it's time to start now. Kyle is about to lead us in a song. I can't make this relationship happen for you. I can't do that. You can't get to the pearly gates, as I talked about last week, and you're going to get to heaven, and you're like, oh, you can't make it in. They're like, why? But Bill said. They're going to say, who's Bill? We don't care about Bill. You have to be all about God. I can't be all about God for you. It's one-on-one thing. You got to make that choice and fight for it. So Kyle's going to lead us, and I want you to start the conversation during the. You can either sing the song, or you can just talk to God on your own. Forget about what you got going on after this. Forget about who's next to you. This is your fight for the best relationship that you will ever have in your life. Start it now. Start to rekindle that flame. Talk to God. Jumpstart the relationship if you need to. He is absolutely waiting, smiling. Kyle, take it away. Whether you've had a breakup with God, or you're in a breakup with God, or you feel one coming, this series, we've equipped you on how to avoid that breakup. But today, I hope you see that it's worth it. It's worth the fight. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the pain. Because Jesus is literally the greatest thing that has happened to you and happened to this world and every human that has walked on it. He's worth fighting for. So let's fight. The good news is we get to do it together. We get to lift each other up. When times get hard, we get to take some of those hits for one another as we help pursue to be all about it. That's Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for all that you do in our life, God. Thank you that even though we are foolish humans, we deceive ourselves, we think we've got it all together, but Lord, you're still there waiting. As long as we have breath in our lungs, you are waiting for us to realize that you are the greatest thing out there, that we don't really deserve you, but you love us so much. You earned our love. You didn't have to, but you did it anyways. Thank you. I pray every day in all the bad influences we go through, all the idolatry in our lives that we struggle with, all of these things in our life that tries to make us break up with you, I hope that we remember every day, Jesus is worth it. There's nothing, there's no creature, no creation on this world that is better than you. And we will fight for you, Christ. We will fight for that relationship till every breath is out of our lungs. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Bless these people and bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, I pray.